What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Kevo Bands Hoops Podcast, man. Back at it again today, Tuesday, January 31st, man. Want to give a quick and happy belated birthday to not only myself, my birthday was yesterday, alongside the great coach Tom Izzo. We share the same birthday, I believe, when I was born in 99. I believe he turned 45, but nonetheless, happy belated birthday to both of us. I appreciate all the love that I've gotten from yesterday. I thank you guys. I appreciate all the love and support from this podcast. You guys keep me going. You don't even know. I am so very much grateful for all you guys that tune in each and every episode, or even if it's just one episode every few months, I still appreciate you guys nonetheless. And with that though, hope all you guys have been doing well. Hopefully all you guys have been getting up and starting your day with a positive attitude, just being grateful, man. It's the little things that you have: a roof over your head, you have a bed to sleep in, you have a TV to watch, you have a phone to call people. The little things that we take for granted, try not to take them for granted, man. I promise you, a little life hack, a little cheat code in this thing we call life is just to simply appreciate the little things, man. But nonetheless, though, I'm sending nothing but prayers to you guys, nothing but love. I know the world is in a hectic place right now, but we still maintain, we still keep it pushing, and just keep on going. With all the distraction, with all the BS, just keep pushing through. But with that being said, let's get to some college basketball, man, because this college basketball season, to me, has been better than most of the things that I've ever asked for in my lifetime, because there's so much parity, it's so much balance, it's so many good teams. It's not a dominant team out there that we've seen at least rise to the occasion yet. We may see that come in March, maybe even in this next month of February, who knows. But nonetheless, though, I want to give some love to what I've been calling the best conference, and most college basketball fans have been calling the best conference in college basketball, and that is none other than the Big 12 down there in the South, slash a little bit of the Midwest, if you want to call Kansas the Midwest. West Virginia, definitely the Midwest. But outside of that, though, the Big 12, night in and night out, is an absolute dogfight. It doesn't matter if you're a first-place team. It doesn't matter if you're the 10th-place team, because it is 10 teams in the league. Every single game in the Big 12 matters, and it's an all-out war. It's a bloodbath, all those things that you want to call it. Like, I love watching the Big 12. Matter of fact, I was watching Texas versus Baylor last night, and that was a great game. Two teams that have a lot of guard play, really pride themselves on the defensive end of the floor. And Texas ended up getting the win. And you got to give a lot of credit to Roddy Terry for what he's done with that entire situation going on not too long ago at Texas. And Texas, man, I got to give them a lot of credit. But before we do that, because we're going to talk about Texas, I want to start from the bottom of the league and then work our way up, because it's about six teams that I can honestly see making a deep run come March time. But I got to start off with the bottom tier. So the bottom tier features three teams. You have the Oklahoma Sooners, you have the West Virginia Mountaineers, and you have the Texas Tech Red Raiders, who just last night finally picked up their first Big 12 win after starting conference play 0-8. They won against a tough Iowa State team at their home crib in Lubbock. They won in overtime. It was a great game, by the way. But with those three teams, here's my thing with them. The first one, Oklahoma. I do want to give Oklahoma a little bit of love, because even though they're pretty much at the bottom of this conference, they picked up one of the biggest wins of anybody in this entire season by beating Alabama on their home floor in that game. And beating Alabama, man, like, I had a feeling Alabama was going to lose eventually, because they just been red hot with Brandon Miller and Nate Oates and all those guys they have on that team. Noah Clowney, Mark Sears, the list goes on, Jaden Bradley. It was destined for them to lose. But the way that Oklahoma beat Alabama nonetheless, Grant Sherfield went crazy. And don't forget about the Groves brothers. Jalen Hill had a big-time dunk over Brandon Miller. Like, Oklahoma isn't terrible. It's just because the Big 12 is so good and so top-heavy that somebody has to be bad. And I did have a little bit of concern with Porter Moser making the move from Loyola Chicago to Oklahoma a couple years ago, but we'll see how it plays out. Of course, they're not going to be in the Big 12 forever. They're getting ready to move to the SEC, I think, in like a couple years. So we'll see how he adjusts and adapts to that. But right now, when it comes to the grand scheme of the Big 12, I don't really see Oklahoma making any noise. So there's that. West Virginia is an interesting one, because they have good players with Emmett Matthews Jr., you know, bringing over Joe Toussaint from Iowa. Eric Stevenson's been pretty good for them for the past couple years. But I'll be honest, as much as I love Bob Huggins, he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best to ever do it. He just hasn't really been good at adapting to this new NIL transfer portal era of college basketball, if I'm just being honest with you guys. Like, the players are there, but they just don't look the same. Honestly, ever since Javon Carter left, I'll be honest, West Virginia has just not looked the same. I believe he was there with Daxon Miles too. they just don't look the same. They don't have that same grit and that same toughness. Now, do they on certain nights and occasions? Of course. I never doubt them with that. Like, they got a pretty good win against Auburn on their home floor this past weekend in the Big 12 SEC Challenge, the last Big 12 SEC Challenge that we'll ever have. But I just really don't see it with this West Virginia team. So there's that. Texas Tech is the most interesting one because I want to say for at least the past 5 years, going into every season, we kind of just, and when I say we, I mean college basketball fans, we just expect and assume that Texas Tech is going to be a capable team to get a good amount of wins, get into the NCAA tournament, and possibly make a run. Because, of course, in 2019, they made it all the way to the national championship game before falling just short with Jarrett Culver and those guys led by, of course, none other than Chris Beard. But Mark Adams, man, I got to be honest, like, last year, everybody was singing his praises and tooting his horn because they made it to the Sweet 16 before they lost to Duke, and nobody really had too many crazy expectations out of them, but they still had good players. They had Terrence Shannon. They had Kevin McCullough. They had Kevin O'Banner. Like, they weren't just a bad team. They had a lot of pieces that Chris Beard recruited to play at Lubbock, and with that, of course, Terrence Shannon transfers out. He tries to go to Michigan. Ends up at Illinois. Kevin McCullough transfers intra-conference. He goes to Kansas where he's doing his thing now. Helped, you know, them get a big win this past weekend over Kentucky and Rupp Arena. But you lost good players, and essentially he did not replace those good players. Of course, you can't really replace guys like Terrence Shannon and Kevin McCullough, but you have to be able to kind of fill in the loose ends and fill in the pieces, and he just did not do that. Like, this roster isn't bad with Kevin O'Banner. I love Pop Isaacs. You know, shout out to my guy KJ Allen from the IE. Like, they have players. You know, Fardos Amak being hurt kind of set their season back, if I'm being honest. The transfer from Utah Valley State, they were expecting big things out of him. He came back a couple of games ago, but you could just tell he looked nowhere near 100%. They kind of just threw him out there and expected him to make things happen, but he still clearly looks banged up. And so his season, I don't want to go out there and be negative and say that it might be over, but the best thing for him, if it's as bad as we've seen him look, then he probably should just sit out the rest of the season and try and, you know, come back next year and make it work then. But I don't know, man. Like, the thing with this Texas Tech team is that Mark Adams, he deserves a lot of credit because he's the one that came up with the no middle defense that's so prevalent in the Big 12 right now, and especially in college basketball as a whole. But right now, with their personnel in this roster, they just don't play a good enough brand of defense to make up for the lack of offense. Because that's the thing, like, defensively, we know Texas Tech, they like to hang their hard hats on that side of the floor, but they don't have that. And then on top of that, they have a struggling offense that doesn't really have a pop. They don't really have a burst. Like, Jalen Tyson's a good player. Davion Harmon's a good player. It's not like their players are just terrible, but they just have not been able to put it together, and it's been so confusing and mind-boggling. And next year, man, I'm gonna be honest, it's a big year for Mark Adams to get this going in the right direction. Of course, you know, when you make it to a Sweet 16 in your first season, that's pretty much all you can ask for as a fan. But right now, it's interesting because when you looked at that game versus Iowa State last night, it wasn't even any fans in the arena like that. And Texas Tech fans for the past few years have been one of the most active fan bases and one of the most unfair home court advantages in the country. So we'll see what Mark Adams does next year, but next year is going to be a real testament to what type of coach Mark Adams is. And again, I don't want to go out there and make it seem like I'm just calling him a bad coach by any means, but I just remember last year, everybody was saying he's an elite coach. It was the same thing with Tommy Lloyd at Arizona. Like, you can't call someone an elite coach after 1 year. That's just not how it works. To be an elite coach, you have to do this for a certain amount of time consistently, and we just have to see that first. And so we'll see what Mark Adams, but right now, Texas Tech is just a bottom-tier Big 12 team. But at the end of the day, again, congrats for getting that win over a good Iowa State team last night and holding on to your home court advantage last night. And so that is the bottom tier of the Big 12. And so then it's another tier that I think honestly is just one team, and that's the Oklahoma State Cowboys, because Mike Boynton's team is actually not that bad. It's just kind of like Oklahoma. Like, at the end of the day, someone has to finish at the bottom because the conference is so good. Someone's going to finish on the wrong end of this thing. And so with the Cowboys, I like Avery Anderson III. I like Bryce Thompson. He's from the state of Oklahoma. Caleb Boone is a hell of a player. And of course, I almost forgot a couple years ago, they managed to get Musa Cisse over from Memphis. He's one of the top rim protectors in the country. So this Oklahoma State team is one of those teams that honestly is capable of beating any team on any given night just off the fact of their guard play. But again, as I mentioned, just because they are kind of missing that top end talent, they do and will finish at the bottom, closer to the bottom of the Big 12. But they could, and I would not be surprised if they do end up ultimately sneaking in to the NCAA tournament. But I do like Coach Boynton's squad, because Oklahoma State, by any means, is not a bad team. So that leaves us with the final six teams in the Big 12. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. Honestly, outside of one of these teams, I could see the other five making a deep run come March time. And the one team I'll say that I don't trust to make a run in March is the Iowa State Cyclones. And why is that? Because, first of all, TJ Osselberger is one of the most least talked about and underappreciated coaches in the country. After taking over the job last year in Ames, he got them to a Sweet 16 when everybody predicted them to finish last in the Big 12. Nobody had them with any high expectations, and he pretty much just shattered them all, squeaked them into the NCAA tournament, and again, they made the Sweet 16. Of course, Iowa State is a prominent basketball program, but they've had some down years. You know, they had Tyrese Halliburton, and they had a couple other guys, but they've had some down years. And for Osselberger to come in and just seamlessly fit that situation, he's ran off with it, and he's maximized it. And I love what he's doing. And this team is pretty good. Like, I'll be honest, being a Big Ten fan, I never expected Gabe Kauscher to be the player that he is today. Because if you know, Gabe Kauscher started off his career playing for Richard Pitino at Minnesota, and he was a streaky shooter. And that's probably just putting it nicely. But now he's more consistent. He comes off pin downs, looking to score, more aggressive. And they have other guys too. Caleb Grill is a bucket. Jaron Holmes, same thing. I love the transfer addition of Oshuni-E coming over from St. Bonaventure, playing for Coach Schmidt, a legendary program. You know, Oshuni-E is one of the better rim protectors in the Big 12, if you ask me. And they have other guys too, but my biggest concern with them, because their defense is elite. Like, they help the helper better than anybody in the Big 12, in my opinion. They probably have the most stifling defense in the Big 12. And that's saying a lot, because the other five teams we're going to talk about, the main thing with them outside of probably Baylor is that they all play elite defense. But Iowa State's defense keeps them in 99% of their games. And I know, I think they're on, what, a two-game losing streak right now, because they lost on Saturday at Missouri. Shout out to Dennis Gates and the Zoo. And then they lost yesterday again to Texas Tech in overtime. But they're not really healthy right now. My other concern is that their point guard play, even though I do like Taman Lipsey, who's from Ames, Iowa, at the end of the day, he is a freshman, and he has been really good, solid, and steady for this Iowa State Cyclone squad, but he's still a freshman. And so with the rest of this team, they just need a little bit more offensive pop for me to trust them, because again, their defense by itself is going to keep them in 99% of their games, but the offense really concerns me, man. They do a good job of chewing up the shot clock, making the defense work, making all five guys move and rotate throughout the course of a 30-second shot clock situation, excuse me, but they just don't have that guy that you can put it the ball in their hands and be like, go give us a bucket. Go get us a bucket. We need a bucket right now. We need you to get it. They don't have that guy. And that's a big cause for concern to me. But outside of that, they have the makings to be really good. And I'll be honest, like, with losing a guy like Tyrese Hunter, I did not expect anything out of this team, out of Iowa State at all, because Tyrese Hunter is that good. And they lost him last, you know, offseason, last summer. And now they're right back in the thick of things. They have a chance to make a lot of noise, as they already have in this Big 12 conference. So that's Iowa State. Now let's go back to Texas, because I mentioned Roddy Terry and the job that he's done. And right now they're sitting in first place in the Big 12. They just, again, picked up a big win last night over Baylor on their home floor. Great win. You know, Serge Jabari Rice has been amazing. Marcus Carr kind of struggled, but everybody else played pretty good. Tyrese Hunter gave him some good minutes. Like, this Texas team, they have the pieces, man. They really do. And the craziest thing about Texas is I honestly don't even think they're playing the right way based upon how this roster is constructed. Because if I'm being honest, their defense is fine. They have all the athletes between Timmy Allen, Dylan Mitchell, Dylan Dessou, Christian Bishop, all the athletes that you can ever imagine to guard the rim and on the perimeter. Like, they have it. My thing, though, is I know that Marcus Carr has been there since Chris Beard took the job last year. He was the guy that was supposed to implement the vision that Chris Beard had in his head to run the Texas basketball program. But my thing with that is that you brought in Tyrese Hunter, right? And just like Gabe Kauscher, I remember watching Marcus Carr at Minnesota. He was a good player, still is a good player, high volume scorer, never really ran the team, but he was just out there to get buckets. And so with that, me personally, I believe that Tyrese Hunter should be the focal point guard, And then Marcus Carr should be the off guard that still gets to put up as many shots as he wants to because he's earned that right. But if I'm Rodney Terry, and I know it's probably too late in the season to do this, but I honestly feel like come March time, if you put the ball in Tyrese Hunter's hands and then have Marcus Carr as the off guard getting ready to shoot and making his life easier, I think it takes so much pressure off of Marcus Carr. Because right now, essentially, Marcus Carr is being asked to be the point guard and the number one scoring option. And I feel like that's a lot of responsibility on him for a guy that isn't really a true point guard. And Tyrese Hunter, if you look at him, he's been a letdown this year. Like, Fran Fraschilla said it on the broadcast last night that, if I'm being honest, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said Tyrese Hunter has not lived up to the expectations that were brought onto him coming to Texas. And the reason for that is because he's playing out of position. He's not a shooting guard. He's not a guy that can just go to his spots and just wait for the ball to come to him. No, he needs the ball in his hands. We watched him at Iowa State last year. He was the freshman of the year. He led his team to the Sweet 16. He had 7 threes in a game against LSU in an NCAA tournament game. You can't just have a guy like that chilling off the ball. Like, this dude is a legit NBA draft prospect. And right now, you're not maximizing his ability because he's playing off the ball when he's probably never done that in his entire lifetime. And I'm not saying that he's not capable of doing that, but I'm just saying if you want to maximize not only his ability, but especially Marcus Carr's, that would be the answer, is to give the ball to Tyrese Hunter, let him run the show, and let him find guys like Serge Ibaka Rice, like Timmy Allen, like Marcus Carr, like Dylan Mitchell for the lobs, like Christian Bishop off the pick and roll. It's little things like that. So regardless, though, Rodney Terry and his staff still deserve a ton of credit because, again, they're sitting in first place of the Big 12. With everything that's gone on with the entire Chris Beard situation, they still managed to weather the storm, figure it out, and they're sitting atop the conference. So I can't knock them too much. Me personally, that's just what I would do. But for now, it's working, man. And you have to give them a lot of credit for that, man. So shout out to Texas. It's been a long year for all those guys, and they're still persevering. And I'm excited to see how the rest of their season plays out. So that is Iowa State, and that's Texas. Now let's go to Kansas, because Kansas is probably the most interesting team in the Big 12. Bill Self, what he's done there has just been remarkable. He's been the cream of the crop for a very long time. He's been running this conference. He's been through the ups and the downs with this conference. And Kansas is still right there, very much so in the mix of things. And kind of like Texas, I'm not a big fan of the way that they play, because I do like Jalen Wilson. But right now, Jalen Wilson's taking 17 shots a game. If I'm being honest, I would probably want that to come down to like 14. Let Grady Dick get a little bit more shots. Tell DeJuan Harris to be a little bit more aggressive. But right now, the only concern with this Kansas team is that they kind of lack depth. But outside of that, like, the five that they do play between DeJuan Harris, Grady Dick, Jalen Wilson, Kevin McCullough, and KJ Adams, that's one of the best fives in the country, if I'm being honest. Like, they have all the pieces that you can possibly ask for. They have the defense. They have the perimeter shooting. They have the guys that get to the rim. They have the unselfishness. The only knock that you could possibly have on them is the depth, but also that you probably like DeJuan Harris to be a little bit more aggressive. And he was at the start of that Kentucky game, which is the right thing, because Kentucky was playing off him. Essentially, they were trying to let Kansas just play 4-on-5 with DeJuan Harris just being out of the play. But he made them pay with a couple big-time threes to give them an early lead in that game. And that's what you need out of DeJuan Harris. You don't really need him to constantly put up shots. But if you can just have him dribble towards the rim and put pressure on the defense to collapse, and then you can find your shooters between Jalen Wilson and Grady Dick, and that makes life easier for them. Because right now, if we're being honest, Jalen Wilson and Grady Dick are making a majority of their offensive possessions by themselves. Like, when they're going to the rack, it's based off mostly themselves. And so I think if DeJuan Harris could just be aggressive and put a little pressure on the defense, that makes his team a lot better. The other concern is, with that lack of depth, if KJ Adams gets into foul trouble, Ernest Udeh actually played pretty good in the game versus Kentucky, so they're going to need more of that. But for majority of the season, he's been up and down, trying to figure out his role, trying to figure out how to just be solid and consistent without coming into the game and fouling. But if they can just get a little bit of consistency from him, I don't worry about this Kansas team at all. Like, I legitimately think Kansas could go back-to-back. I don't think they are, because it's so hard to do that, especially in this sport. But this team can go to the Final Four. Like, I have no hesitation in saying that whatsoever. Bill Self has done a hell of a job retooling and reconstructing this team after losing Oshai Abaji, Christian Brown, and Big McCormick last year. And now, and especially Remy Martin too. But this team is, I won't say just as good, but they're much better than I expected they would be at this point of the season. So give a lot of credit to Kansas. Now let's go to Baylor, because Baylor is probably honestly one of the more intriguing teams in this conference, because Baylor can make noise. Like, I honestly feel that Baylor can get to the Final Four. The biggest issue with Baylor is that, if I'm just being honest with you guys, their defense is nowhere near as good as it's been in years past. That's all it comes down to. The guard play is good between Flagler, Cryer, and Keontae George. But outside of that, you know, they need a little bit more consistency from Caleb Loner, Jalen Bridges, and Layson Love. And those last two, Bridges and Love, have been playing pretty much better for the past few games, which is a good thing for them. And of course, you got Big Flo Thama there, anchoring the perimeter, and of course in the key. But Keontae George, he has to be better on defense, man. And not only does he have to be better on defense, he has to be better with his shot selection too, because he had a couple just iffy slash questionable shots last night in that game against Texas. And I like Keontae George. If you know me, if you listen to this podcast, you guys know how I feel about Keontae George. He's that dude. But you want him to take better shots, and you want him too, on top of that, if you're Scott Drew, as much effort as he puts on the offensive end of the floor when he has the ball in his hands, you want to see him give that same consistent energy on the other end of the floor, because sometimes you just feel like he's not checked in all the way. Like, sometimes he's just spaced out defensively and he gets lost, he gets caught up. And so it's a freshman thing. I don't want to just make it sound like I'm harping on him. I don't think this is anything that nobody has seen. We've all kind of seen he struggled on that end of the floor, but if he can get that going, it'll help him out a lot. Because right now, the thing with Baylor is that it's not just Keontae George that struggled defensively, but he's one of the main reasons. But with that though, when the defense is consistently breaking down, you're putting a lot of pressure on Flo Thamba. And Flo Thamba, as great as he's been, he's the all-time games played leader in Baylor history. You can't let him get into foul trouble, because as soon as that happens, it's just not the same. And they do have another good big man. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his name right now. I believe he's a freshman. He's going to be good in the coming years, but he's still a freshman. And so that's the only concern. But when Flo Thamba's in the game, he holds that defense down every single time. When he's not, though, it's a complete different story. So with Baylor, though, the other thing, too, is that with those three guards between LJ Cryer, Adam Flagler, and Keontae George, I don't think we've seen all three of them click at the same time just yet. They've had some quality wins. They beat UCLA on a neutral floor. They beat a couple other good teams. They know what they're doing. They just beat Arkansas. I know Arkansas has been struggling without Nick Smith and Trayvon Brazil, but they get good wins. They have quality wins. They beat Kansas on their home floor, so they know what they're doing. But I just want to see them click, because I don't think we've seen the best version of this Baylor team yet, and that should bode well for Baylor fans out there. So be excited for Baylor, because they still have room to grow. They still have room to get better. And that's scary for the rest of the Big 12, and especially the rest of the country. And that leaves us with two more teams. And these other two teams I've been high on. One of them I did not expect to be this good. We talked about them in the last podcast. The other one, everybody had high expectations for them. And so let's just start with them. And that is the TCU Horned Frogs, led by Jamie Dixon down there in Fort Worth, Texas. First of all, they have two things that helped them out a lot come March time. The first thing is they have two elite guards in both Mike Miles Jr. and Damian Ball. And I know Mike Miles got hurt this past weekend. He hyperextended his knee against Mississippi State down there in Starkville. So we're hoping for a speedy recovery for Mike Miles. He said himself, it doesn't sound like he's going to hold him out for too long, but I do think he's probably going to miss their game tonight. I forget who they play, but they're in a Big 12 game tonight. So he's going to miss that, which sucks, but hopefully, again, we'd rather see him in March time than rush back an injury and re-aggravate it and be out for the rest of the season. So we're hoping for a speedy recovery from him. But with those two guards, Mike Miles and Damian Ball, you're going to have a chance to win each and every single game just off them. And then on top of that, Eddie Lampkin is hurt right now, too. He had an ankle injury that he sustained in that blowout win at Fog Allen Fieldhouse versus Kansas. But once they get the big fella back, too, he's a huge, literally and figuratively, a huge presence for them in the paint, because he can get buckets on offense and he holds down the paint defensively. And on top of that, the main thing is that this team plays defense. Between Shahada Wells, Emmanuel Miller, Chuck O'Bannon Jr., Michael Peavy, they have a lot of length and athleticism, kind of like Texas. They're built honestly just like Texas. Two good guards in Tyrese Hunter, Marcus Carr, Damian Ball, Mike Miles. And then they just have athletes on athletes on athletes that play good perimeter defense and that don't foul a lot. And that's big come March time. So I like this TCU team a lot. I just want them to get healthy, and once they do, hopefully they get it back rolling. The only concern with TCU is their perimeter shooting. That's the only thing. That perimeter shooting is a huge cause for concern, because remember, early in the season, they lost that game against Northwestern Texas State or something like that. I don't even remember who it was, but it was some directional school, and they just should not have lost that game. But it was largely in part because they just can't shoot the rock consistently, and that comes down to the guard play being able to get into the paint and make life easier and give their shooters, quote-unquote shooters, more room to work with. So TCU was good. Jamie Dixon's done a hell of a job this year with that team. I like them come March time, because with those two guards on top of that defense, it's a recipe for success come NCAA tournament time. So watch out for the Horned Frogs in March. And then the last team, a team we talked about in the last episode, I'm not going to spend too much time on them because we've already talked about them, but Kansas State, man, what else can I say about Jerome Tang? What else can I say about Keontae Johnson? What else can I say about Marquise Noel? On top of Cam Carter, Ish Masood, Iyola, Naquan Thomas is going to be an NBA player very, very soon. They just have it. They just have it. They have the experience. They have the guard play. They have every single thing that you can imagine. The maturity. Defensively, again, they're nowhere near where they need to be. But honestly, I think it's a work in progress. And once they figure it out and start to really not lock down their rotations and figure out how to play defense the right way and how Tang wants to play defense, this Kansas State team is going to be even more dangerous than they already are, man. So again, shout out to Coach Tang, his staff, his players, and that entire Kansas State basketball community. They're doing it the right way, man. But as always, if you made it this far, I appreciate you for tuning in. This has been another episode of the Kevo Bands Hoops Podcast. Please like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, and share. And if you listen to my podcast on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rate and review. That's how we share, grow, and expand the podcast. Shout out to both Nuts and Bolts Sports and Off the Ball Network, where you guys can find me on both channels and pages. I appreciate you guys, man. Enjoy the rest of your week. Stay blessed, stay focused, keep growing, and just know at the end of each and every single day that you are it. You are enough, man. As always, peace and love. Gone.